Socrates would not have approved of lame excuses.
And I promise to begin exploiting my family before the end of the day.
Nice suit. Thank you.
Very good. You get a gold star.
Hailing frequencies open. You are listening to Treknologic's listening post that goes with Treknologic 192, where we reviewed the Star Trek Next Generation movie, Insurrection. First up, Carrie.
All right. Our first message is from Chris. I assume not you, Chris. Another Chris.
I'm not sure.
Right. It could be him. Maybe from another time.
Maybe it's the alternate Chris. It's the real Chris.
It could be.
As opposed to Mirror Universe Chris.
We'll have to see if it mentions rescue.
It might be coded. We'll have to pay close attention.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris says, hello. I happened upon an episode of The Outer Limits tonight called Wolf 359 from 1964. I'm probably not the only person to catch this, but I've been trying to find out if the episode in TNG was based on the Outer Limits episode. Can you give me the 411 on this, please?
No.
Trivia questions.
Yeah.
Well, I know Wolf 359 is an actual star.
Yeah.
So they probably picked it up from there.
Right.
It's a miniaturized world.
Yes. Actually, I saw this one. It was a guy created a miniaturized version of an entire planet in his lab. So it was a teeny tiny planet. But the aliens from the planet evolved super fast and like started taking over his lab.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they do that in the revival as well?
Maybe.
The 90s Outer Limits? I love that one.
That could be. With the ants?
No, that's a different one.
No. This one had ants in it.
Well, this had ants in it, but they weren't the aliens. The alien was like a weird shadowy thing because, you know, it was like...
I remember the ones with the ants was the 60s version was the Zanti Misfits, if I remember right. Now I got to look it up.
Right, where they had little faces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally creepy. And they crawled up their pants legs.
Wow. I can't believe I remembered that. The episode name of a 60s show like Star Trek.
So it was a microplanet. I don't know that the Battle of Wolf 359 was taking place in this guy's lab, but it very might well have because,
Yeah, the closing, it says here, the closing narration is... There is a theory that Earth and Sun and Galaxy and all the known universe are only a dust mote on some policeman's uniform in some gigantic superworld. Couldn't we be under some super microscope right now?
In the episode, it says that the theory is that the monster is actually the collective consciousness of everything on the planet.
Right.
Which fits in with the Borg.
Oh, it does.
Nice. Wow, that'd be cool if somebody did that.
Yeah.
I linked it together, but no, I doubt I have any proof of it.
So, Wolf 359 is similar, and the creatures with a collective mind are similar. So, I would say, maybe.
Maybe.
Putting our research skills to the test.
That's right. I would have to give that a Treknologic maybe.
3 minutes of research.
I guess we were like halfway, so that's a 205.5. Not the 411.
Right.
And I like the fact that, you know, even during this, we went off on a different episode.
Yes. All right. Our next mail is from Tekarangolam or Tekarangolam. Hello, Cap, Doc, Chief, and Ben. Sorry, Ben. I don't know what the single syllable abbreviation of your title would be.
Jerk.
Oh, that's not your title. You're not jerk.
I know what it is. It's pawn.
Pawn.
Nark.
Yeah. Okay, so there are a lot of good options. It is I, the Takaran Golem. Stalwart listener of Ship's Announcements and occasional contributor to Ship's Duties. I am shocked, absolutely shocked, that Captain Chris would be investigated for untoward behavior. I mean, he leads us through the haunted valleys of Spock's brain, the poisonous waters of These Are the Voyages, the pit of shades of gray, the bowels of Threshold. We even followed him to hell and back if the agonizers at our side... Oh, we've even followed him to hell and back, and if given the choice, some of us might have even stayed there.
Probably because it was preferable to being on the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, there's that animated episode where they go see the devil or something.
We proudly walk around with our agonizers at our sides because we all know he has a phaser. Chris survived long enough in the mirror universe to achieve a command position. Does that sound like the kind of man you'd want to investigate? Speaking of crossing Captain Chris, Death Wish.
Ooh.
Let's be clear. Q doesn't belong on Voyager, or on DS9 for that matter.
No.
He's a hugely powerful being that could easily resolve all of Voyager's problems.
But he probably wouldn't because, spoilers.
Q.
Yeah, how many times did he resolve the Enterprise's problems?
Right! I've said this before. I was raised in a religious household. Aside from issues of human evolution, Star Trek rarely had anything to say that my religious teaching directly contradicted. However, as you can imagine, those beliefs did extend to the subject of suicide. In short, it's not often I find myself in the pews rather than the choir when Star Trek preaches. So forgive my naivete at the time, but I didn't even realize that we weren't on the same page until the end. I was thinking, wow, they're playing the devil's advocate card really strong. I wonder how they're going to swing it back the other way.
No.
The ending came as a shock and a very depressing note that stuck with me for a long time. Oh, man, that is a bummer.
Wow.
You sound so hurt.
Thankfully, I've never had to personally deal with this issue, at least not yet, and for a long time. I hadn't spoke with anyone who had. So this episode was one of the few points of reference I had for molding my own personal beliefs. Sure, it's a sci-fi concept, but it's a different perspective, unencumbered by preconceived notions and political baggage that usually clutter the conversation. It made me realize that having such a hardline position on right to die is not reasonable in the real world.
Well, it's interesting because my mom is very conservative, but just 2 days ago we had a kind of a discussion, and you know she's big on the right to die thing, which is really surprising to me because I'd never talked to her about that sort of stuff before. Right. And you know, she's getting older and she's seeing her friends, you know, have issues,
right?
And so you know, this is kind of come up, you know, she's kind of thought about that, and or the, you know, the whole die with dignity thing.
Yes.
And because I was saying, you know, back when I had you guys were around, weren't you, when I had my arm issue?
Yes
my shoulder, and you know, it was in so much pain. Once you encounter that much pain, you have a real empathy, I think, towards people who are living with huge amount of pain. You could see why people might make that choice, especially when there's no positive forecast for them.
Right.
When I had my heart attack, I actually was lying there thinking, God, I wish I could just close my eyes right now and just not wake up because it hurts so bad. And of course, I was having a panic attack and being stupid and lying on the couch instead of going in to see the doctor.
Right.
But I did. I was like, God, if I had not woken up, I would not hurt like this.
Wow.
Yeah, and that, for, by the way, listeners, is one of the reasons why we're kind of have a more abbreviated schedule this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the reasons. Others is job, you know, changing jobs and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right. You know, unlike the one, County Bar Association that thinks that people have no lives that do Star Trek podcasts. We actually have lives.
I wish. Yes.
Yeah, I know, right? I wish I could just sit around and just do podcasts the entire time.
All right. So that's enough. He continues, but that's enough philosophizing. This episode is really good for all the reason you guys described. It's funny, deep, and has the boldness to make social commentary that can easily be divisive to the viewing public. Q is a blast with a perfect balance for goofiness that's grounded in serious material. I love the metaphorical Q continuum and seeing Riker again. By the way, I'd imagine that if Quinn had erased all his memory, he learned everything all over again and had come to the same conclusion again before willing back his memories. And he's done that so many times that it's as boring as everything else. Just a thought. Yeah. That was about our suggestion that they could just forget something they wanted to experience again.
Right.
There's only two problems I have with the episode. One, if you want Quinn to escape, then why did you hide it? If you didn't want Quinn to escape, then why did you hide him in a comet that could be broken by phasers? Two, this suffers from the Voyager Borg problem. Great episode that makes important changes to the formula that ends up destroying it in the subsequent episodes. Here we've started the trend of Q being the student and not the teacher. Instead of putting up a mirror to humanity, he's constantly bringing his problems to Janeway to solve and refusing to solve hers. But those are minor nitpicks. Speaking of death and trials, court-martial. First, I need to get something off my chest. Curse you, HD remastering, and curse you, HD television set.
Yes, because I could... No, don't curse them, but it just makes it so obvious.
Yes. Back on my old recorded VHS tapes in my old TV, I never noticed the difference between Kirk and his stunt doubles. Now it's inescapable. I was fine living in ignorance. How dare you drag me into the light?
Hey, you could hook up your VHS. You just need an adapter.
That's right. And it'll just look like pretty much a giant blur on your HD television.
It's hard to believe that we, you know, watch things like that.
I know. Anyway, I hadn't seen this episode before, and I've got to say, I found myself more critical on this one. Maybe it's because a lot of things made no sense, like the pod ejection, the courtroom dialogue, or the bipolar actions of Dorothy's poorly dressed sister. Many scenes and plot lines went nowhere, and the villain was reduced to a crazy madman. It's not terrible, but being inadvertently hilarious won't necessarily earn it high marks. Of course, part of the problem is that I know just barely enough about judicial law to be frustrated by its mishandling. Forget whether or not Kirk is comfortable with an old flame heading up prosecution. Why is the state okay with this? I mean, wouldn't they be worried that she'd go easy on him and, I don't know, try to give him helpful tips on the sly? I know it didn't factor into the rest of the story, but then why was it important to have this? Now on to minor nitpicks and points of interest. From an organizational standpoint, the only way Kirk's armchair of doom makes any sense is if the third button was eject escape pods, as that would be the next logical escalation of after red alert. Thus, in the event of an emergency, you may sit in terror waiting for the captain to mercifully release you, or will reach the pod bay just in time to watch them majestically drift away. Also, was anyone else expecting to hear a Wilhelm scream? That's what you're talking about, Ben, the Wilhelm scream.
Yep.
After McCoy ordered Spock to eliminate a crewman target.
Jane talked about that.
Yes. Speaking of the heartbeat scene, with all the sound amplified, I was expecting everyone to clasp their ears in pain every time Kirk spoke. Gentlemen, yes. Oh, God, the pain! What you are hearing is, stop, make it stop.
See, I brought that up as my problem, too.
So, citation for conspicuous gallantry is technically fine, but it sounds like a bad thing. Two of the three words have negative connotations. I imagine the citation for conspicuous behavior is what you get for wearing a dark trench coat, fedora, and sunglasses while flipping a coin near a kindergarten. I bring this up because I was confused about the back and forth. I thought Kirk's attorney heard something bad and had to stop it quick, as if Kirk's list of accomplishments was organized from most impressive to most damning. In this case, we see Kirk's old flame doing him a solid by also trying to stop it early. Some of the awards we probably missed were commendation for creative cheating, prime directive violator hall of fame, current record holder for most red shirts expired under questionable circumstances, voted most likely to eject manned pod before red alert is pressed.
That's why his classmen were still so hostile with him.
Yeah.
Sadly, or maybe it's a good thing, I didn't even notice the diversity in this episode. It wasn't until you brought it up that I realized just how significant that it is. I hope that reflects well on me, because the message seemed to be that such things shouldn't be irregular in the future. Well, I have to go. I have call waiting from my Ferengi timeshare business partners. You know, I haven't seen them in a while, nor any clients. I hope they're okay. P.S. The next two buttons on the Armchair of Doom would be decompress all other decks in case of the Borg and one touch self-destruct. You do have to hold down the button for 3 seconds.
Nice.
All right, next up, Ben.
This one is from Dave. Hey, guys. Thanks for your thoughtful and painstakingly in-depth review of Star Trek Insurrection. Painstakingly. We did talk a lot, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yeah. Mike is painstakingly aware.
Yes. How much so much talking.
How much did you have to edit out?
I ended up clipping about 30 minutes out.
And then how long was it?
I started with 3 hours and 20 minutes of audio, and it ended up being 2 hours and 58 minutes, I think, or maybe 53.
It's nice that we can talk longer than the movie actually took to watch.
Yes.
No, wait, that might not be nice. That might be kind of scary.
Right.
Here are my thoughts about listening to your podcast. Sorry, I thought I was muted again. I've seen the movie many times, and I've heard the commentary by Frakes and Sirtis. It was very generous of you to include clips and discussion from the commentary, which brought even more depth to your review. I like to think the reason Dougherty pronounces his name in an exaggerated way is because after he realizes his mistake too late, his expression turns dour, hence Dougherty.
Oh, that's great.
Ruffalo's scream served as tribute to Kirk's Khan scream.
A fine tribute it was.
Yes. When both captains, Riker and Picard, respond at the same time with on screen, it's similar to the time when Picard is on Crusher's ship in All Good Things and he responds to being the captain, then yields awkwardly to Beverly.
Yeah?
What? Beverly's captain?
Yeah.
In the future.
Oh, man, I've got to see Beverly. That.
It's a medical ship.
Yeah.
So she's captain of the hospital.
Oh, okay. Floating hospital. Cool.
Yes. I think your frustration with Data playing as a child is unwarranted. He was fiercely experimental and couldn't wait to try any and every experience that would bring him closer to humanity. He painted and he performed music, but he hadn't spent much time living for periods through the eyes of a child. The story involved aging and generations, and it made perfect sense to tie in Data's B-plot. Also, it allows everyone to regain Data's trust after he goes haywire. Something very human was needed to do that. Nothing to see here. Move along. Speaking of generations, this crew is the next generation after the original crew in Star Trek, and the Sona is the next generation of Baku. In other words, 3-word plot description of this film could be another next generation.
Wait, no, awesome. It could have just been Star Trek The Next Generation squared.
Yes.
Yep. I didn't see the Anish healing scene as Picard controlling time. I do appreciate and accept the take on it now that you bring it up, but I've always seen it as Picard's voice and Bond reawakening her time-slowing powers as she hears him despite her unconscious state. I think Star Trek Insurrection is a top 5 Star Trek movie. Star Trek fans tend to be way too rough on it, mostly because they can't help comparing it to First Contact, a 2-part TV episode. No way. It's a great feature in its own right. My thanks to the guys who gave it an 8. Dave.
All right.
Well, I think overall we rated it 7. Excellent.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty high.
I mean, it wasn't like some of us gave it 2 and some of us gave it 8.
I was the hardest on it. I gave it a 6, being a solid.
Right.
I gave it a 7, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah, and it would have been an 8, but I had to dock it down a little bit because of something.
Yeah, probably.
But you can listen to that review if you need to remember what
that's
it was.
Right.
It's a quick review.
You know, 3 hours.
Though. Yeah, well, you could just go towards the end of it.
The last 45 minutes. So.
It didn't take me 45 minutes to talk about why I rated it what I rated it.
It's that long because of Carrie's 45-minute summary of what she talked about.
No, it's not. Although, with the Picard thing, the reason you know it's him slowing time is because she says, and you thought it was going to take, like, centuries to learn.
Oh, right.
To do that.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Incoming communication now the space mailbag is over. It's time for voicemails.
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 And we have one from Colin.
Whoa, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Greetings, Technologic. Tis Colin from England in my eloquent English accent, which isn't eloquent at all. But still. So, court-martial. Where to start? Oh, I know. Let's start with our Mirror Universe captain, who pointed out that in the updated HD Blu-ray, All Singing, All Dancing, Lucky Comes with a Coffee Machine version of TOS, then the crew could be clearly be seen on the outside of the windows, which is something only a Mirror Universe captain would say, because if there was outside the windows, they'd be in the vacuum of space. It's literally to believe that Chris has been killing more of the crew. I mean, you can't keep killing the crew, Chris. I mean, I know it's at a Starbase and you can get fresh ones, but just because there's like, you know, just like you go into the supermarket and there's lots of bread to choose from, doesn't mean you have to use all the bread. Okay? You do need some experienced staff and not just photonic life forms and someone from the Q continuum.
They have a tendency to survive.
Yes.
So, to the episode. Now, Commodore Stone actually does Starfleet an immense favour because, as we know from TOS, as a general rule of thumb, anyone who holds the rank of Commodore or Admiral is a bit of a dick. You know, they come on the ship, they throw the weights around, or they try and take over the ship, or they do some other asinine thing that, you know, their rank bestows upon them, an unbelievable level of stupidity, which makes you wonder how they got to the rank of Commodore and Admiral in the first place. But hey, I digress. The thing that did make me laugh in this episode was why a starship capable of travelling at warp 7, say, although in some episodes it does go higher, but anyway, needs to put a man in a pod and hang it out the back like a trailer or something and do sensor readings of an ion storm. Is the ship not fitted with a plethora of sensors that they never use this pod at any other time in any other episode? They just go, sensor readings, Mr. Spock. You know, where does pod suddenly come from? And why do you need to hang the man outside in the pod to do sensor readings that surely you could do from the bridge? It's unbelievable. And also Kirk's chair. Is Kirk's chair, is it multi-function chair that you just change the armrest depending on the mission?
I think so.
On that armrest seems to change an awful lot depending on what he's doing. I mean, I've never seen that configuration on that chair before, and we never see that configuration again. So what does it do? They go into original space and Scotty comes up and retrofits the chair and changes the buttons round.
Yes.
And also, how dodgy is it to have a red alert button protruding from the arm of the chair like that? I mean, if he leans on that while he's like hitting on the latest yeoman or drinking his coffee from his styrofoam cup or having a bagel or whatever, it could trigger a red alert, you know? And he does lean on that arm, especially the right-hand side. I don't know if you've noticed from episodes, like when they do the cutscenes at the end and stuff like that. He leans on the right-hand side a lot. How many times has he pressed red alert when he shouldn't have done?
Yeah, well, also, why does he have to announce it if he's got the button?
Multifunctional display that he could flip through. Yeah, suppose Scotty coming up and saying, Captain, we're coming into this Klingon region of space. I need to change the ion pod ejection system to torpedo launch or along them lines.
That's modular. That's
I want the cup holder.
That's it?
Oh.
I think you messed it up, Mike.
No. Well,
oh, no, I think it might have lost something.
You are a communications officer.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. I touched my nose first.
Yeah.
Not it.
Let me see if there's, like, part two or something.
You know, like a bajillion languages. You're like C-3PO.
But not as annoying.
I just use an internal translator.
Yeah, except when you win at chess with yourself.
Right?
No, then he's not annoying. Then he's just a jerk.
Yeah. Like our other hologram.
He sent it several times, so let me download another one.
Maybe they're all different parts.
Well, he kept getting... I will say this. Colin sent email and said that he was getting an error that it was not deliverable, so maybe it only delivered the first part of it.
I don't know. Let me see how long this one is.
Greetings.
No, that one's also 3 minutes and 58 seconds.
Oh, no. Colin, we lost the rest of your voicemail.
I must have ejected him.
It's Captain Kirk's fault. It's totally Captain Kirk's fault. He ejected it. I didn't see a cup holder on the thing, and there really needs to be one of those.
Okay, so, well, I guess thanks for the awesome first half of an email or voicemail, Colin. We will, I guess, to be continued.
Yeah. He left us on a cliffhanger.
Oh. All right. Well, thanks for all that feedback. We love feedback. Hey, and you can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review by emailing us at feedback@technologic.com. You can even email us voicemails. You can tweet us at Twecknologic. Twecknologic. At Twecknologic. You can find us on Facebook, and there's a Twecknologic forum at Twecknologic.com, which I'd log into if I could.
I'm going to go there and change your password right now.
You say that every episode.
No, every episode I say I can do that. This episode, I'm saying I'm doing it.
Wait, you're actually going to do it?
I'm actually going to do it right now.
Right this second? Well, yes. shouldn't we finish out the listening post first?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for listening to our discussion of feedback. Until next time, on behalf of everyone here at Technologic, love long and prosper.